and welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is John Bond, who is the founding director of the property investment company PrimeWest. His background spans law, investment banking, as well as property investment and development. He's a qualified solicitor and also holds a Bachelor of Commerce, a corporate member of the Property Council, a non-executive director of ASX-listed Fleetwood Limited, and a director of the Art Gallery of Western Australia Foundation. And in case you're wondering, John is also the son of Alan Bond. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill. Nice to be here.
So, John, we're going to talk about your role with the Fathering Project. When did it first occur to you that there was a problem with fathering?
Well, I only became aware of the Fathering Project itself about 3 years ago when I'm involved with a men's group which meets once a month, and we often get a guest speaker to come along. And on this occasion, we had Professor Bruce Robinson come along and talk to us about fathering. And he'd done a remarkable job over 10 years by himself, speaking at schools and to various professional bodies on what became his passion, which was fathering, how dads and father figures today could really lift their game. And at the end of his discussion with us, he said, "But look, I've been at it 10 years. I do it on my own. I've actually run out of energy and money, and I think it's all going to fold up." And we thought that was terrible, so we got together and decided that we ought to try and support him. I mean, he struck a real chord with us when he spoke. He's a very passionate speaker, and I actually believe he's been on your program before.
He has.
And so once you hear him, it's very hard not to be taken with what he says. It's simplistic in a way, but statistics are so astounding on the value of having a decent father or father figure that we got involved to put a structure behind this charity. So that's where it formally started for me. Obviously, I've got four kids of my own, and I've been through the whole fathering process. They're older now, from 34 to 24. And I happen to have been a passionate father in any event.
And that seems to be the key to it, because Bruce Robinson, who you mentioned, is actually, I think, a respiratory physician rather than anything to do with social work with children, I think.
Yes, no, he deals with a lot of terminally ill patients in his profession, and one of the things that kept coming back to him when he spoke to these people was that they wished they had spent more time with their children, and they wished that they had possibly done a better job with their children. And it was a recurring message to him, you know, and obviously a really important one from the people that were speaking to him.
And so you're encouraging the fathers to be more involved. Now, I presume that applies equally to the sons and the daughters. There are benefits to both sexes in this.
Oh, absolutely. It's not father and sons. It's father and children. Really, one of the key things that always rings for me is his suggestion that you treat, especially if you've got more than one child, that you try and treat them individually and specially. And he has this wonderful phrase called a dad date, where you take one of your children only and you do something a little separate from them. It doesn't have to be anything major. It could be going down and having a drink somewhere, just one-on-one, or taking one of them to school at a time so that they feel individually special. And it's a really, really simple thing, but it does tremendous things for a child in terms of their self-esteem.
I think a lot of fathers fall back on the principle that we do things as a family rather than spending the one-on-one time with each child. Is that something you've noticed with fathers?
Yes, it is. I mean, that's clearly better than not spending time with your children. But fathers in general tend to think that if I take all the kids to a movie or we go and have a bite to eat, then, you know, I've really done my job. And it's actually far, far more important to treat them individually and not as a herd. One of the guys on our board now, he has the habit, he has two boys, and he takes them he takes turns in taking them to school. And you take one of them, they go to a different school, so that is easy. And they always do something a little special when they go, and they say, "Well, don't tell my brother what we did. This is our special thing." Mm. And then he takes the other one, and he says exactly the same: "Don't tell my brother what we did." And they just cherish this little moment of either being picked up or taken to school by their dad one on one.
Yeah, so it's such a minor thing, but it has a big influence, doesn't it?
It does.
And on the other side of the coin, I've seen some of the statistics on where the fathering doesn't get done, where there's a fatherless home. It is really frightening, isn't it?
Oh, it's shocking. I mean, we have some statistics, and some of them are from the US and some of them are from here, but they're really shocking. I could give you some examples if you want. For example, school dropouts, 9 times more likely if they come from a fatherless home. Adolescent patients in chemical abuse centres, 10 times more likely if they're from a fatherless home. And there are a number of other statistics, and they really are quite shocking. So it's quite a powerful thing and quite a simple thing that can have a pretty significant effect on society.
And do you feel you're battling uphill sometimes because the government gives all sorts of grants to single-parent families, which is usually the mother, which means the dads aren't there?
Yes, it is an uphill battle, and we don't get any help from government. And also, I think one of the big battles we have is that psychologically people tend to want to give money and promote to things to stop problems after they've started, and Bruce Robinson has this wonderful saying that what we do differently is that we turn off the tap rather than mopping up the water after it's spilt everywhere. And even economically, it's so much more sensible to stop a problem happening than to try and fix it. Well, as you can imagine, with drugs, to try and help a drug addict is hugely expensive and not very successful.
You've mentioned the importance of father figures when the father is not available. How does that work?
Well, I mean, the reality in society today is that there are a lot of broken marriages. They don't always end well in terms of fathers having access to children, and there's, you know, fly-in, fly-out workers, and there are a range of pressures which mean that sometimes a father is not available, and we say that it's still really important to have a father figure if a father is not available for whatever reason. And that father figure could be, a sport coach, could be a teacher, could be an uncle, and they can have a very significant impact on a child's development as well. And again, we'd like to make people aware that even though they're not their children, they can have a big impact on how kids turn out who are not their own kids.
So we need to get the message out to mothers that it's not really something that they should try and attempt on their own. They should look for some sort of father figure to be in their children's lives.
Absolutely, yep.
And we're speaking with John Bond, who is the chairman of the board of the Fathering Project. We're going to take a short break now, and we're going to play a song by John Williamson, a very Australian theme. This is True Blue.
Hey, True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker, and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Give it to me straight, face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue. True Blue. Is it me and you? Is it Mom and Dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your man when he's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True blue, I'm asking you. Hey, true blue, can you bear the load? Will you tie it up with wire just to keep the show on the road? Hey, true blue. Hey, true blue. Now be fair dinkum. Is your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care? Hey, true blue. True blue. Is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when she's in a fight? Or just Vegemite? True blue, I'm asking you. True blue, is it me and you? Is it mom and dad? Is it a cockatoo?
That was True Blue by John Williamson, and we're speaking today with John Bond, who is the chairman of the board of the Fathering Project. So, John, we were just talking about the situations where the fathers are not available. Does this lead to the Fathering Project doing any lobbying work with the family court, perhaps, to get fathers in with a continuing role with children after separation?
So our main programs are one is the schools program, and that's where we run a program to get some fathering figures in a school to be champions and to run a series of events during the course of a year which involve a father and a child. And that takes a lot of our time. Our intention is to get into every school in Australia eventually. We're West Australian based at the moment, and we've accessed over 200 schools. There are 1,000 schools in WA that we want to get to. So that's a huge project for us, and it's really important. It's grassroots. It's getting to dads and kids when the kids are young and therefore most likely to be influenced by father or father figure's behaviours. And then we also have a series of online books and videos which are helpful and instructional, and we do weekly tips which fathers or father figures can just receive if they sign up every week. Just a simple tip to keep them on track, to be thinking, you know, at least once a week about something they could be doing to make their relationship with their child better.
Yes, I think that guidance is very important because, as we all know, when you have a child, you don't get a book of instructions, do you?
No, you do not. We have a little book of instructions, actually. Well, it's not instructions, but we call it the blue book of tips for fathers and father figures. And there's just a series of about 30 tips, one page, and they're really a good way of bringing yourself back and having to think every now and again about You know, we all tend to think about what we have to do at work and all of the other obligations we have day to day. This is a great way of thinking about what am I doing with my kids.
So how can people access this this book you're talking about?
Well, they can go online to our website and they can access either a hard copy or an online copy. That's the fatheringproject.org. And there's a whole series of information there to give them tips and help them in thinking about fathering. We talk a lot about fathering and fathers, but we don't for a minute want to suggest that mums are somehow excluded. It's more that we think mums in general probably do a better job. They're more nurturing already. And interestingly, it's very often mums who drag dads or father figures along to our school functions. They're the prime movers very often to get dads more involved with their kids. So we're very conscious to make sure that people don't think somehow it's just related to dads. It's really a whole family affair.
Yeah. And it applies even when the children are very young, I think, like even, say, under 1 year, it's the father is still important in the children's life.
Yeah, well, the statistics are very strong that, you know, well, we all know that kids are sponges, and a very young, you know, age, they're very, very influenced by behaviours of parents. We don't try and access kids that early, or access the dads of kids that early. We tend to look at about the first few years of primary school. It's the first time where we can actually access dads in big numbers, if you like.
What about the fathers who, you know, I'm sure you're familiar in your own life, but with fathers perhaps on business when they're away so often, they're travelling, are there tips for them so that perhaps they don't feel guilty about being absent from their children growing up?
Yes, well, there's a couple of tips. FIFO, fly-in, fly-out workers are a good example, and we say that it's really important to call in to Skype every night when you're away, at a time when the kids are there, if your work commitments permit, so at dinner time, see how they're going with their homework, just have a general chat to them. It's important to really stay in contact, and one of the things also with people on business, and we had a guy came and spoke to us about an experience that he'd had. He travelled a lot on business, and he was travelling to pretty exotic places, but had a terrible relationship with his 13-year-old daughter, and probably related to the fact that he was away so much. And it was suggested to him that he take his daughter on one of these trips, and Bruce thinks this is a really important idea, Professor Bruce Robinson. It doesn't matter what sort of work you do. If you can take one of your children with you for a day or a few days, and again, you get that one-on-one time. So this gentleman convinced his 13-year-old daughter, who didn't basically speak to him, to go to Paris with him. He had a conference to go to. She would be there and they'd spend some time separately. She loved the idea of Paris. She hated the idea of having a week only with her father. But the upshot of it was that they, when they came back, the relationship had turned on its head. And he said he now has the most amazing relationship with her daughter, his daughter, and a very open and honest relationship. So now when she's at a very impressionable age with, you know, boyfriends and potential for drugs and alcohol and how she's going at school, it's totally turned around their relationship. He's now very involved. She's very open with him, and he just cannot believe the difference from one trip away on work with her.
It sounds like it was a good investment, the trip to Paris. Some dads, though, of course, are in a different area altogether. I mean, the dads who are incarcerated, do you get the message across to those dads who can't get to see their children?
No, look, it's on our agenda to do that. In fact, one of the people who is a big supporter of our project is currently the Director of Corrective Services in Western Australia. And so we often find that people get the concept and then implement it in their own ways. So he's attempting to do things in WA prisons. He understands how important and significant it is. But it's early days for us. It's another project on our list and funding dependent.
Yes, I'm sure there are a lot of projects that you can turn your mind to, and one will probably lead to others. But
yes,
when fathers, when they want to get involved with this wonderful work you're doing in the Fathering Project, they could go online. Do you have meetings, or how do they get the message?
Yes. Look, there's a number of things they can do. If they're just a dad or a father figure and they want some tips, they can easily get those online on our website, and they can sign up for a weekly tip and they can get other information. Or if they want to get more involved, we have volunteers who do various things for us. And one of the very significant things they do for us is that we train them to be presenters so that they can go to a school and present on behalf of the Fathering Project and help a school to get set up with some fathering champions and then grow it through the school. And whether it be their own school, or they're prepared to do that three or four times a year and go to a different school. So that's a very concrete way in which they can get involved themselves. We're just doing a new crop of presenters in Perth at the moment. We've got 30 volunteers who've signed up to run through that program and become presenters themselves.
You've mentioned champions a few times. You don't literally have to be a champion, like a champion footballer or a champion sportsman or a champion anything, do you, to actually become
a
champion?
No, not at all. Not at all. We just call them champions because we think they are, in terms of what they do for their kids. We had a gathering of 70 men from that run a program in their own schools, and they're just ordinary dads who have a bit of a passion to and sort of get it and understand how important it is to be connected with kids. And so they literally just get together. There might be three or four dads in the school, and they plan a series of events which we help them with, but they ultimately choose. And they're things like having a camp out on the school oval one night with each of them, as many dads as they can get, each having one of their children. Or I went to a local school here where they had got together and decided they'd design a billy cart. So the dads had to work with their children to build a billy cart. And then on a Saturday, they had a billy cart race next to their school. And it was a fantastic day. It was just endless smiles. The kids were happy, the dads were happy, the mums were there cheering on. It's those sorts of events which they can organise in schools and really make a big difference.
And we're speaking with John Bond, the chairman of the board of the Fathering Project. John, at this stage, we always ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. I wonder if you could tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it.
Well, I picked Down Under by Men at Work. And when you asked me about fathering and you mentioned my father, I thought about it for a little while and thought that's probably the most appropriate. It was the theme song for the America's Cup Challenge in 1983. I was lucky enough to be in Newport when that successful challenge was on. And as they steamed out of the heads to go and race, they had these huge loudspeakers and it was mostly Americans around, and they had all their American flags up. And they were very much the underdogs, but they steamed out with this music blaring, and it's very hard to forget. Very, very memorable for me.
And 33 years later, it still sounds great. So this is Down Under by Men at Work.
Take cover.
that was Down Under by Men at Work. So it just remains for me now to thank our special guest today, John Bond from the Fathering Project. John, thank you very much for being on the program.
That's my pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, once again, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.